America, and for all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another perspiration episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, currently sweating, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio and Patrick Mifflin. Chris Sologi will hopefully be joining us a little later. This episode is for July 7th, 2017, and goddamn does it feel like it.
Yep.
Swamp ass for everybody.
Swamp ass and humidity for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten up to around 95, 96 down here in the last couple of days.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is also with the humidity to go along with it.
So, worse.
Yeah. Of course, if this was in, like, Utah, it would mostly be a dry heat.
Yeah.
Which
is not better, believe me.
No, it is not. But yeah, so yeah, I have been sweating my balls off for the last few days, and doing the absolute best I can to avoid going out into direct sunlight, because it burns, and
the sun sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, this week, we of course are going to be talking about a few political stories, basically more and more evidence that yes, our leaders really are that stupid. And you're not just imagining it.
Yeah. You say leaders in air quotes.
Mm-hmm. We got some Canadian news. We got some historical news. Recently, a recent discovery at Monticello, which, those of you don't know, that was President Thomas Jefferson's mansion in Virginia. Yeah. And of course, we've also got some Hollywood and some movie news. China's up to some bullshit. And, of course, we're going to have some talk about Netflix. But before we get to all that, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I'm reading, well, slash listening to Fallen Dragon by Peter F. Hamilton. Very good book. With an actual narrator that doesn't suck, it seems to be a much better story. So that kind of helps. So I've been listening to that and waiting for my audiobook player to show up so I can actually take the books on the road with me. So that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I've been watching some random old TV shows on my Plex server. You know, I just hit watch a random episode and, like, now I'm watching Transformers. So, okay. I don't have a problem with this. So that's been good. What else have I been doing? Oh, yeah. Finally decided to pick up the vinyl edition of the Transistor soundtrack. Crunchy crunch.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I figure if the quality of the, you know, package and all that is good, then I'll probably end up getting the Bastion soundtrack as well, and hopefully,
as you do.
Yeah. Hopefully, if they release a vinyl version of Pyre, well, that's a no-brainer. Going to be getting that one.
Yeah.
Is that coming out? No, that's not coming out this week. That's next week. So, yeah, looking forward to that. It's going to be a good game. And somehow realizing that I have Amazon Prime, despite the fact that I canceled my membership. So, that was interesting. It's like, I ordered Crash Bandicoot and Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age. And I'm looking at the prices on Amazon, and it's like, wait a minute, where did this $10 and $9 discount come from? I'm like, oh, I have Prime. Somehow. I checked my credit card statements. They never billed me. Okay, free Amazon Prime for a year? Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Waste not, want not.
Yeah, so I'm going to be using the shit out of that. Because that actually makes buying games in Canada affordable now. So, yeah, instead of, you know, $60 for Zodiac Age, it was, you know, 50, and Crash was from 55 down to 40. So, yeah, it's pretty big savings for me there. But, yeah, I'm getting those Monday and Tuesday, and look forward to playing the hell out of those. Especially Final Fantasy XII, because I didn't really play it the first time, so it'd be nice to have that on the PS4 and play it and hope there's nothing really wrong with my PS4 Pro because I've been experiencing issues.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like the Wi-Fi, for some reason, just decides to stop completely.
That's better than a Blu-ray drive or a hard drive or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you can wire it.
Yeah, I can wire it. I've done some reading, and apparently it's something that's actually a known problem. It happens on some PS4 Pros and not others, but it's Sony screwed up the firmware, basically. The 5 gigahertz radio is fucked on some models. I've gone switched back to the regular 2.4, and that seems to have sped it up considerably. So, yeah, I'll see if that holds up. And worst case scenario, I just run a cable to it, and it'll sort the problem out completely. So, So that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Pat?
I've been streaming a lot of fighting games, and that's about it.
I remember that because I was on one of those.
Yep.
You just beat the crap out of me for a good hour and a half, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're getting there, though. I think once you get your sidestep game going and start getting some sidestep twos going, you're going to get a lot of free combos out of that, so...
Yeah, I really need to, ditch the DualShock 4, because this is just not happening. So, yeah, I'll probably hit up Arcade Shock and see if I can grab a couple of those Horis.
Yeah. They're nice controllers.
Yeah. So, should probably help.
Hori did just manufacture a bunch of PS4 fighting commanders, so...
Yep. So that should be pretty good.
Get on that, for sure.
Yeah. So how about you,
Brian? Well, first of all, I finished Valkyria Revolution, and a review will be forthcoming.
Kind of a continuation, what you said last week. It's like so much good potential there, but...
That is completely fucking wasted on just some shoddily designed gameplay. But I will, however, say that this game probably has the one single character with the biggest pair of tits I've ever seen on any JRPG character ever.
And she's in all the promotional materials.
Yep.
All of them.
Uh-huh.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. And in case who are we talking about? It's the Valkyria. Mm. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and pull up this picture.
Yeah, just drop that in the show notes. But, yeah.
Because here's the thing. Honestly, she's a Valkyria, and the thing about Valkyria is they're basically gods, so, their anatomy can be disproportionate. And, she doesn't really even walk anyway. She just kind
they're
of
also
fades. They're also AP, and they kind of phase in and out, but god damn it, look at these things. Seriously.
Yeah. Skype update.
What?
Just look at these. Look at this shit.
Yeah, I'm not,
they're actually so big at times that they actually have to angle the shots of close-ups of her, because otherwise her head would just completely fucking disappear.
Jesus.
That's what I call an unhealthy addiction to Bluesant.
Yeah, that's not really good. I could see some practical problems with them being that big. God damn it, Sega.
They're so big at times it looks like they're not even attached to her. They're just kind of...
Yeah, that's one of the promotional materials right there.
Yeah.
They're just kind of floating.
Yeah.
Which technically is what she's doing anyway. She basically just floats. But yeah.
That will avoid back problems.
Yeah. True enough.
But anyway. So I finished that, and now my primary gaming right now, as of today anyway, is Fire Emblem Echoes.
Good game.
Yes, I got it on my 3DS, been playing it, it's good,
Yeah, my copy from Lee arrived 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But I still need to finish Fates.
Yeah.
Because I'm absolutely insistent on doing all three routes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. But, so yeah, those of you who don't know, Fire Emblem Echoes is sort of a quasi-remake of Fire Emblem Gaiden, which was, of course, the second Fire Emblem game that was made. And, you know, it's updated with, like, fresh visuals, fully voiced cast.
I have a friend in it.
Yep. Everything in the game actually has a voice actor.
Yep.
Nothing gets on top of that, there's some other quirks, like there's the dungeon mechanic that they add I don't think that was in the original Fire Emblem Gaiden, was it?
Not much was in the original Fire Emblem Gaiden.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So like there's this dungeon crawler mechanic that happens when you come across dungeons and shrines and castles, and you can go in and, you know, it's kind of, you know what it actually reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of Persona 4.
That's a good comparison.
The way that it works. And of course, you know, it's, I mean, other than that, it's fucking Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Got a big epic story and a bunch of characters, millions and millions of people, all clashing together trying to kill each other.
Yep.
And now we know beyond a doubt that Nintendo is just going through and systematically remaking all the old Fire Emblems.
Yeah, because they already did the first one.
Yeah, they did Shadow Dragon.
Yeah.
Now they've done Echoes.
Well, they did Gaiden, so
Yeah.
So what's the next one?
Oh. I'm not sure. I think that there might have been one more on the NES.
I think there were three on the Famicom and then several on the Super Famicom.
Yeah. Basically...
I'm going to satisfy my curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's see. So, yeah, as far... number three is actually... Okay, so Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon, and Fire Emblem Gamelon were both for Famicom.
Yeah.
The rest of them...
The next one is Mystery of the Emblem.
Yep. Ooh,
that's...
And then after that is Genealogy of the Holy War.
Yep, which a lot of people still hold to this day as the two best games in the series.
Mm-hmm. And that one actually stars Marth.
Yep.
Mystery of the Emblem does.
Yeah.
So, you know, they do that one. Holy shit, is that one going to sell like crazy?
Yeah.
I think Fire Emblem sells now because it's fucking Fire Emblem.
Yeah, but you put that one on the Switch, and you sell consoles. So.
Yep. Something else they're not having trouble doing at the moment.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's been basically my gaming for right now. Also, of course, reading as usual. I got a nice haul from the bookstore yesterday, and amongst other things, I got the first volumes of a couple of light novel series I've been anticipating. The first one is Occultic Nine, which, for those of you who don't know, is by Chiyomaro Sakura, Chiyomaro Shikura. Where is it? Hold on, let me check.
Yeah.
It's Shikura Chiyomaru, yeah.
Okay.
Those of you who don't know, he's the creator of Steins Gate. Yeah. And he's also heavily involved in all the music, too. So, and then, of course, I've got also Grimgar of Fantasy and Ash, the first volume of that by Ao Jumanji. It's one of those books that's kind of credited with kickstarting the whole people suddenly find themselves in an RPG world.
Yeah.
Type of thing that, you know, with, I mean, obviously everybody knows that, you know, they're obviously not the first. Obviously we got others. We got Sword Art Online, and of course before that was...
Dot Hack,
yeah.
But, somewhere in there was Log Horizon.
Mm-hmm. But, so I got that, and, oh yeah, the fucking ground is lava.
Yeah, it's hot. It's kind of hot.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if you went outside and, you know, if you came out, say, around noon and dropped an egg on my driveway, you could probably fry it.
Yeah. Especially if you got a blacktop driveway. It will fry pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so having to deal with the fucking heat, man.
Yep. Like we said, swamp ass for everybody.
Yeah. And this is southern heat, too. Yeah. So along with it, with that also comes really bizarre fucking weather.
Hmm.
Including what I'm going to be
talking about. I thought you were going to say they find out why they call it the Dirty South.
Yeah.
That, too.
Yeah, so, out of the way, it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yay!
And, you know what? It's gonna fucking tie into just what I was talking about. because, like I said, the South is when its summers are notorious for bringing in this really bizarre, unpredictable, and frankly predatory weather. We get every fucking thing from tornadoes to hurricanes to, you know, nasty-ass electrical storms.
Yeah, predatory is not a euphemism there. People fucking die.
Yeah. And then, of course, that's not counting the plagues of mosquitoes and locusts that start showing up.
Bees.
Bees. God damn the bees. Yeah, fucking bees, man. But if there's one thing about living in the South during the summer that I swear really just messes them with some people, is a little neat little phenomenon that happens not necessarily just in the South, but pretty often down here. And it's a nice little phenomenon known as a sun shower.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
What is a sun shower? Well, quite simple. It's when rain falls while the sun is shining.
Yep.
Yep. I can think of all of one time that that's happened up here.
Yeah. It just happened here yesterday. And it happened again the day before.
It's like, oh, hey, it's really nice and bright out there. Why am I getting soaked?
Yeah. But basically the reason is because, well, it's a weird sort of meteorological thing. You see, the winds that basically carry rainstorms sometimes can carry the rain a good few miles out of the way. And because of that, it can end up in places where there are no clouds. Just, you know, I mean, okay, there might be a few clouds, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not even talking overcast. Like, there will be fucking blue sky above you, and all of a sudden you start hearing... I'm like, the fuck? Did the fucking weatherman go to Sesame Street or something? Because this isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
When you get sunshine, there isn't supposed to be fucking... Yeah.
Yeah, rain.
But see, the funny thing is that here in the U.S., we have these weird euphemisms for it. And it usually goes something along the lines of, the devil is beating his wife.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from, but it goes from things like, the devil is beating his wife with a frying pan, which is what my grandparents always said. And of course, when it starts raining any harder, it goes, well, old girl's got a chin on her, I'll give her that.
Okay.
The South.
Yeah. There's also the French phrase, which is Le diable bat sa femme et Marie Sophia, which is the devil is beating his wife and marrying his daughter. That, of course, comes from Louisiana.
Naturally.
Yeah, and of course, if you're in the Netherlands or in Belgium, where stuff like this also happens, you get funfair going on in hell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're in one of those places where, you know, the idea of having rain while the sun is out just, it doesn't, seems illogical.
Hmm.
This type of shit can really mess with your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. We cannot live in a world of chaos.
Well, we are, so
yeah.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, of course, I don't have to tell that to the folks who live in, say, Utah, where it has not been unusual for it to snow during the summer, or at least not unheard of.
Yeah.
It happened this year.
Yep.
Joy.
And that, my friends, has been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. I don't know how the fuck we all survived down here.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Well, now it's time for the getting part of the proper show, the show proper. We're going to start, of course, with our asshole of the week. And, of course, this week, our asshole of the week is none other than everybody's favorite arts and crafts hellhole, Hobby Lobby. Yeah. So, Hobby Lobby, God, where do I even start with these douchebags? For one thing, they honestly do not have very good business practices. They kind of treat their employees like shit. They also basically went to the Supreme Court in order to deny giving required birth control medication to their employees,
yeah.
Or at least subsidizing it due to their quote unquote religious beliefs.
Yep, they're that kind of company.
Yeah, they're basically, you know, they're basically like Amway, except, you know, with doilies and fucking sewing needles and shit. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. They recently had to pay a very, very multi-million dollar large fine because it turns out that because the family who owns the chain, they've been wanting to create a museum dedicated to the Bible. Isn't that nice? So they wanted to collect some antiquities, and it just so happened that they managed to get some of these antiquities from a black market dealer who may or may not have been helping to fund ISIS.
Way to go, guys.
I don't think you thought that thing through to its conclusion.
Yeah, so, okay, it says here, the family who owns a chain of more than 500 craft stores have been under investigation by the Department of Justice for illegally acquiring and importing ancient Babylonian cuneiform. Everyone knows what cuneiform is, right? The old Sumerian writing language.
Yeah.
That's put on these little clay tablets that they got for an upcoming Bible museum. The family was forced to give up the artifacts and pay a multi-million dollar fine. And let's see. It says here, Hobby Lobby's president illegally smuggled 144 artifacts into the U.S. No hint of prosecution, just a fine.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who can connect these dots here more naturally?
Yeah. Apparently.
I mean, when you get down to it, Hobby Lobby and ISIS are both right-wing theocratic organizations who would like nothing more than to establish a theocracy.
Yeah. That one of them does it with, you know, the power of bombs and swords, and the other one does it through shitty arts and crafts.
Yeah. One of them will be more successful than the other.
And just for the record, ISIS does deal in this type of shit. They actually do, you know, because everybody knows that ISIS likes to go into old temples and places and basically destroy them, mostly because they want to antagonize outside forces into coming in to challenge them, because ISIS is ultimately a death cult.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is,
they'll also look for money anywhere they can find it.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, they've been involved in drug dealing, prostitution, human trafficking, sex slavery, and of course, black market sales and dealings of antiquities.
Yeah.
Prostitution doesn't sound very Islamic to me.
They don't care.
Neither does sex slavery, to be honest.
Right.
Despite what people may think, there is nothing about sex slavery within either the Quran or the Hadith.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's not necessarily say that there aren't things within the Quran or the Hadith that are not necessarily enlightened towards either women or non-Islamic peoples, but that's kind of besides the point.
Hmm. You understood my point.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, man, I swear, there is something about these types of people who go through this. They develop this sort of personality complex where they think that they can basically get away with anything, and they honestly don't think it has any effect on how other people will see them religiously. Like,
yeah.
You profess to be born again Christians, and yet you're dealing in stolen artifacts.
Yeah, from a group
that may or may not be funding an Islamic death cult.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not very high IQ in these people, I'm guessing.
Either that or they're just fucking sociopaths.
Yeah, probably a bit.
Or both.
Yeah.
You know, borderline.
Yeah.
That type of shit.
Yeah.
But now. We get to
pork rinds are good.
Hmm.
Yeah, pork rinds are fucking good. I got a bag of them right next to me.
Mm, I got the spicy ones.
Oh, yeah. I got the spicy barbecue.
Hmm.
I am going to punish my colon.
We're just loving life tonight.
Yeah. Yep. Now, to get that taste out of our mouths of those Hobby Lobby assholes, we've got our Hero of the Week. And our Hero of the Week this week is none other than National Public Radio.
Yep.
NPR. Who, on their, I believe it was their Twitter feed, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's their Twitter feed. They decided on July 4th to, line for line, in 130 characters or less, tweet out the entirety of the Declaration of the Independence of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let me tell you, reads wonderfully in bite-sized chunks.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's fun because there are actually parts in that thing you realize that, wow, the English language really has evolved over the last 200-something years.
Yeah.
There are also
parts in there that leave you with no misunderstanding of what side the founders would be on.
Yeah, and there's also parts where you're thinking, wow, these guys were a little frisky. Calling together meetings in places unusual.
Yeah.
Is manly firmness. Yes, that is actually in the Declaration of Independence. In fact, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and get it now. It's
You're having a recitation of the Declaration of Independence on Let's Weekend?
No, not the whole thing, but...
just a few parts. Choice parts of it.
Yeah, so, yeah, the actual Declaration of Independence is, first of all, people often forget how long it actually is, because in reality, the whole, you know, because, I mean, everyone who's ever seen, like, an actual image of the actual Declaration, you know, it's all on just one page.
Yeah.
It's just that people forget that it's a really goddamn big page, and it's with really tiny letters.
Yeah.
But,
I was gonna say, I just thought that it was written really densely.
Yeah, well, it was also a large page.
Okay, yeah, so, the part that I'm talking about is in the part of the Declaration that's known as the Indictment. Basically, it's the list of grievances they have against, King George and the Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that says, he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness of his invasions on the rights of the people.
Mm.
Giggity.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Of course, there is also the more, shall we say, problematic parts of it.
Mm.
Like, say, He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions.
Mm, yeah,
that was now, for the record, it was true that England was allying with certain American Indian tribes in the actual fight.
Yeah.
Still comes off kind of shitty now.
Yeah.
It does.
Oh. I mean, it is more... I mean, it is kind of a statement of fact, but you can kind of tell where their attitudes were.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, the reason we're telling you this is because as they were tweeting out the entirety of the Declaration of Independence, all including the introduction, the preamble, the indictment, the denunciation, the conclusion, and, of course, the signatures of all the, well, all the names of all who, of course, signed it, including, of course, Thomas Jefferson, author, you know, everybody knows it. Everybody knows a lot of these, you know, John Hancock, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, William Henry Lee. People know these people.
Yeah, they should.
Or at least you should.
Yeah.
Francis Lightfoot Lee. Wow, there really was a guy named Lightfoot. But anyway, the reason we're telling you this is that for some weird reason on Twitter... people thought they were trying to make a statement against President Trump.
Just showing the level of...
Isn't that the most self-damning thing that you can imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
So, like, okay, let me just, okay, so everybody knows Declaration, it was formally signed. It's usually, formally signed... considered to have been formally signed on July 4th, 1776. Of course, the truth of the matter is a bit more muddy because despite that famous painting of where they're all in the one big room signing it, in reality, they had the declaration, different copies, and everybody had different, and they all signed it. Because remember, this is 13 – this is the entire east coast of the United States, basically,
yeah.
You know, besides Florida. So – obviously, they couldn't all just... But anyway, that's besides the point. Anyway, so they decided on Independence Day to tweet it out. And for some reason, Trump supporters thought this was some sort of declaration of violence against the current president.
Why ever would they think that?
Because they're insecure and inept?
Yeah, so like, for example...
maybe the shoe fits.
Yeah. So, like, for example, they tweeted this out. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. You know, hear, hear.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish. If government comes destructed of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Some dipshit named D.G. Davies answered and said, so NPR is calling for revolution. Interesting way to condone the violence while trying to sound patriotic. Your implications are clear.
they couldn't have done it any better because it's just... trolled themselves.
Yeah.
Wow, something
like
exploded.
Trolling somebody is easy. Getting people to troll themselves is a masterwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some other dipshit named Alma Sanchez. Glad you are being defunded. You have never been balanced on your show.
Dumbass.
And that's just two of them. In fact, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go ahead and see these this gallery here, because... Man, I really want to... Let's see.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
Okay. Let's see. There's this one woman calling herself human being, claiming that NPR thinks that NPR may have been hacked.
Nope. No hacking
going on.
Because
apparently she had never read the Declaration of Independence and didn't recognize any of these words. They thought it was some psychopath tweeting out craziness.
Yep.
You know, just pure word salad to this woman. What else have we got? See, Debbie Mosenrose, please stop. This is not the right place.
Yeah, tweeting out the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July, you know, the day that you became independent, is inappropriate. Just, God damn it, people.
Have they become a parody of themselves yet?
It's like, so not only do they don't understand the Constitution, they also don't understand the Declaration of Independence either. So,
no.
What's the point?
Let's see. Of course, here's one of the famous, one of the most famous, arguably the most famous part of the entire Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that all are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, and this dipshit named John Norcalli writes, rights are secured by government, rights are not given by government. That's, not even the fucking point, dipshit.
Good That's God.
Just arguing semantics.
Now, of course, we all know the irony of that section, what considering the fact that the man who wrote that down was also... You can finish that sentence. Keeping black people as slaves, yes.
Yeah, who's doing that? So that's...
I mean, it's common knowledge now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, Lord. I love this one. The MAGAs saw this and were outraged that NPR was tweeting shade at Trump. It wasn't. It was tweeting the Declaration of Independence. Let's see. I mentioned this part before. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. This dipshit named John L. replied, propaganda, is that all you know how? Try supporting a man who wants to do something about the injustices in this country. Hashtag draining the swamp.
Wasn't it more like refilling the swamp?
And of course this guy Joey said, they're tweeting the Declaration of Independence, crying smiley face, crying smiley face, crying smiley
face. Yeah.
Congratulations, you just played yourselves.
Yep.
NPR tweeted the Declaration of Independence, and Trump supporters thought they were calling for revolution. Good night, everyone.
Yeah. And, let's... Chris is on, so let's bring him in to the show.
But, I mean, if the shoe fits...
Yep. Yeah, if the shoe All right, fits, Chris. Wear it.
So. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris is officially going to join us now.
Yep. Yay. Should be, jumping in any moment now.
Yep.
So we just
there he is. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey.
All right, you joined us just in time. We were talking about all the dipshits who thought that NPR was tweeting out, you know, inflammatory rhetoric towards Trump when they were tweeting the Declaration of Independence.
That's yep. good for them.
Yeah. You can't really make that shit up.
I mean, that's God damn.
Just yep, it's just making total mockery of themselves at this point, and then they don't even have to try hard to do it anymore.
Yeah, so. You got anything you want to add, Chris?
Probably not from what you've probably said.
Yeah, we kind of
yeah, pretty much covered it. So
it's like the notion that the Declaration is all about anti-tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they don't seem to realize that.
Yep,
like they seem to think it's somehow like literally there was no additional commentary added. They literally just tweeted line for line the entirety of the Declaration of Independence.
Yep. So, blah.
And for somehow the fact that they took that a document, which by the way was written well over 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And they somehow identified that with somehow being an insult to Trump.
Yep.
Now, well, there's
Hatch
a part
is about
of
as much of a confession of guilt as it comes.
Now, there's a small part of me that wants to think that No, some of these people actually did know about it. They were just trolling. But we're kind of in an age now where it's not really safe to just make that assumption.
No.
I mean, I've come across so-called Christian patriots who never heard of Jefferson's Bible.
Well, that's
Do you guys know what Jefferson's Bible is?
Yes.
All right, what is it? Yeah, go ahead. Who wants to say what Jefferson's Bible is?
Well, you can go ahead. I just...
Yeah. Jefferson, basically what it is Thomas Jefferson got the... basically took the New Testament out of the King James Version of the Bible, and then he cut out all of the supernatural bits and pieces so he could make a really secular, philosophical Jesus. You can get copies of it.
Sense.
Yeah. And you can get copies of it. You know, they sell copies of it, and they have it. You know, they have the original Jefferson Bible at the Library of Congress. You know, and I'm sure they've got a copy up at Monticello. But there was this dude. He was like, you know what? I want you. You know, and he literally. I was talking to this dude on Facebook, and he was like, "Where is your proof? I would very much like to see this so-called Jefferson Bible."
Oh, it's out there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, go to Monticello. It's like there.
See what happens when you get all of your facts from Fox News and David Barton.
I know, but through one of my college professors, and thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, I just got to say, before we move on, when shit like this happens, you start to really wonder if there really is a revolution right around the corner.
Yeah, it's probably sooner rather than later.
And I would hope that it would be a political revolution, because despite my angry rhetoric and occasionally calls for blood, I actually don't want violence and would prefer it not to the country once again. Yes. Basically descend into civil war again.
Yeah.
But I almost kind of worry that that we lost our last chance for that when Sanders lost the primaries.
Yes.
I wouldn't go that
but
far.
But I'm not a firm believer in people. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. Let me put it this way. As we've said before, do you want the French Revolution? Because this is how you get the French Revolution.
Yep. Except it'll be the second American Revolution.
Yeah. Anyway, now for the proper show proper. And our first story tonight is going to be...
More Twitter nonsense.
Oh, yeah, more Twitter nonsense. Actually, the first of two GOP Twitter stories we've got.
Yeah, oh, hell shit. Of a week.
Oh, God, yeah. So, first and foremost... the GOP, I'm guessing, was it the RNC?
That was the main GOP account.
Yeah, asked...
yeah, I guess the
They RNC. Were basically demanding Hillary Clinton's health records.
Yeah, because they were posting, like, a two-second clip of her before saying that we should fix the ACA instead of just repealing it and replacing it.
Yeah.
So it's like, we've got to fix what's broken. What's your plan at Hillary Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, here you go, dude.
Like, you guys know she's not president, right?
Yeah. There's a bunch of people here.
I mean, she should have been. I mean, the only reason Trump won is because of some archaic electoral college system.
Yeah.
It's like people saying, wait, are you actually tweeting at Hillary Clinton asking what where her plan is 7 months after defeating her in the election?
She didn't even have to write it. She just linked to it.
Like, you know, she's a private citizen. You know that, right?
Yeah.
She's under no fucking obligation.
Here's another good analogy. Applies for job, doesn't get job. Employer, so where were you at work? Why weren't you at work today? And so hers, like, right here includes radical provisions, like how not to kick 23 million people off their coverage.
Yeah.
Feel free to run with it. Link to her page on her site.
Wow, there are things exploding outside. That's awesome.
Yeah. But, Yeah.
Like, what the hell did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing that you're asking other people what their plans are? Because I looked at the tweet, and they sent essentially the same tweet out to Bill Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and a couple other people.
Like, we already know what Bernie's health care plan is. Yeah. He already made it pretty clear.
It's like, what, you've given up on your own plan? Just crowdsourcing it now?
Yeah. We have no idea. $1 billion.
Well, here's the funny thing that you bring that up. Mitch McConnell basically admitted yesterday that the negotiation for the American Health Care Act is completely shot, and that at this point, they're basically having to degrade themselves to actually talking with the Democrats.
Oh, gee. Well, because, you know, compromise.
Like, that's how it's supposed to be. That's how Congress is supposed to work.
Yeah. And Trump has suggested, hey, if we can't replace Obamacare, maybe we should just let it fail on its own. Problem is,
it wouldn't.
It's not failing. It's not perfect, and it definitely can be improved upon, and it's definitely nowhere close to actual universal health care, which I wish we actually had, but...
And just having the administration just go, fuck Obamacare, isn't helping it at all.
Yeah. No. Speaking of which, our next story, the Indiana GOP on their Twitter account actually asked out to the Twitterverse and asked for Obamacare horror stories. Instead, they basically were inundated with pro-ACA stories, which, of course, is what the actual...
Yeah.
What, yeah, it actually, like, is. Some of these here. I live in Indiana. I was denied coverage for a pre-existing condition before Obamacare. I was covered for 2 years through the ACA. The horror. My experience has been nothing but a positive one. Before ACA, as a self-employed artist in Indiana, there was no affordable insurance plan.
Here's another one. Yeah,
breast cancer was detected and treated thanks to ACA in Indiana. The horror story is my state's complete indifference.
Here's another one. This is actually from same person. It's three tweets. My brother raised two kids without health insurance, and when he started having heart troubles, he'd go to the fire station for free care. Seriously. Then the horror. He was able to get insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and right after, his wife contracted some deadly bacteria and was hospitalized for several weeks. She had to take off work for a few months until she recovered. Horrible Obamacare saved them. Here's another one. This is a good one. I'm a Republican. The ACA saved my wife and son, allowing them to get spine rebuilds and physical therapy that has been denied before.
Gee, it's like they are so inside of their own bubble, they think, oh, we'll just ask for horror stories, and we're going to get them.
That backfired pretty badly.
Yeah, it's they got a bunch of these at the link here. Here's a good one. New general practitioner paying more in new insurance company are legitimate gripes, but they don't threaten millions of lives. Hashtag save our care.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. What was Indiana GOP hoping for? I'm rich and my taxes went up under Obamacare? The ACA took my baby away? That's a Ramones reference.
Yeah.
It's almost like Obamacare was a pretty good stopgap solution.
Yeah, it's almost like it was kind of working.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fucking GOP won't get it through their goddamn heads.
Even the state branches are sticking their own foot in their mouth.
Yeah. There's a reason why there aren't really any more town halls now.
Yeah, because the GOP doesn't want to hear the people.
Yeah, because they don't live in reality here.
Yeah.
They think they do. They think they're speaking for everybody, but they're not.
Yeah.
All right, so... Next story. For those of you who don't know, right now in Germany, the G20 summit is happening. Side note, the German riot police are basically out there beating up protesters, for those who didn't know.
Yeah.
But also, apparently Trump booked no hotel for it.
Yeah, apparently they waited too late to start trying to find accommodations.
Yeah, just use Airbnb, it'll be fine.
By the way, he also had his first public meeting with Putin while he was over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, had to get out of a climate change event to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't believe in climate change anyway, so...
Yeah.
He also I want to say one of the bits that came out of that little meeting is that Putin told him that that they didn't interfere with the election, and Trump took him for his word.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's how you get the answers. You just ask the guy.
And then while he was up there sitting with Putin, there was the thing when he was up there sitting with Putin, and Putin said, "These are the people who've been opposing you." Ha 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 ha. He was pointing at the press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Putin.
A real upstanding citizen there.
Yeah, don't forget what Putin does to journalists he doesn't like.
Yeah. Oh, there's a great gif of Angela Merkel with Putin. She just rolling her eyes at him.
Yeah.
It's like.
Oh, and speaking of which, there was that now the gif that went around the world of when the Belgian first lady basically refused to shake Trump's hand.
Yep.
Yeah,
like he offered out his hand to shake her, she just went
goes
no,
right for Melania.
Yep, nope. And the look on his face.
I think bemused is the appropriate word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, God.
Yeah. Speaking of other Trump bullshit, everybody knows Trump is having his infamous little voter fraud panel, which basically, let's just be honest, it is just Orwellian to the extreme. And apparently most people know that because...
I think they're ass...
Keep going.
No, I think the connection.
So the information they want from the various states is names, state party, and last four digits of your social security number.
Like everything.
Yeah. And apparently, most people recognize that this is bullshit because out of the 50 states in the union, 44 of them have balked at you know, getting involved. So they said, you know, we want the information.
A couple are just waiting for the actual. They're waiting for the actual letter to come in. Like request before they balked it.
Yeah. So basically, all 44 states are like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, since 44 have said fuck you for now, and the other six are waiting
for the paper to get in. So this might end up being the one. I keep thinking, is this the thing that's finally going to sink him?
Well,
like, is this the last? Is this the straw that broke the camel's back? Is this the one final thing that will finally bring it all crashing down?
We've
been saying that for the past year.
This is a pretty likely candidate because of the crap that he's done in the past. I think this is probably the worst.
It's the one that seems to be the most universally hated.
Yeah.
Next to the AHCA.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. But, on to some Canadian news because, you know, they're up there and they aren't having problems with this shit.
We have plenty of other problems, but...
Well, yeah, you know, there's...
You know, oh, by Canada, the way, marijuana is legal here now, so...
Yeah. Thank you, Prime Minister Trudeau. Want to switch? Please?
Yeah.
I'd settle for annexation.
I'll go down on you. Fuck it, I'll take it for my country. But anyway.
Well, shit, I mean, Putin obviously got a beach, so.
Anyway. So, this week, a Canadian baby became the very first Canadian citizen to get a health card without a gender marker.
Yep. That's a thing we're not doing anymore.
Yeah. See, it's for us. Okay, this is from Global News Canada, which, by the way, kudos to Global News for being smart enough to disable the comments on this article. Because I think they already kind of knew where this bullshit would go.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. In what could be the first case in the world, a British Columbian baby has been issued a health card with the letter U for a sex marker. It comes as the baby's parents fight to allow their child to develop their own gender identity. See, Cyril's parent, Corey Doty, is going to court against the Vital Statistics Agency for its refusal to issue a birth certificate for the child. Since the baby was born outside the medical system, there was no quote-unquote genital inspection. Quote, okay. We're not actually asking to have anyone's ID changed against their will. We're just asking to change the structure of how identification, particularly the birth certificate, starts out. Doty said the goal is for the child to discover their own gender identity, and so far the decision hasn't been a problem, even when people ask if the baby is a boy or a girl. Often, I'll just say, I don't know yet, or I'm not rushing to apply those types of labels on this kid. Right now, they're just a baby.
All they really do is cry and shit.
Yeah. Gender expression has been a protected ground in British Columbia's Human Rights Code since 2016 and was added as a ground to the Canadian Human Rights Act earlier this month.
It's nice living in a progressive country.
And right now, down here, we're still bitching about whether or not transgender people can use the bathroom.
Yeah.
There are even people going through the detransition process just to avoid grief from all the bigots out there.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Canada had same-sex marriage for almost a decade before we had it. Yeah. So,
do you mean at the state level or do you mean at the federal level?
Federal.
Yeah, just wait until these people find out about asexual and pansexual people.
Yeah.
Right.
The reason I keep bringing this up isn't necessarily to say that Canada is a necessarily superior country. It's not. No country is superior to others. Every country is great on its own merits. But it's also to say, God damn it, Americans, are you going to let these fucking leaf herders fucking show us up like this?
Okay.
But yeah. Now on to New Jersey. It's everything is hilarious in New Jersey. Current Governor Chris Christie and family were photographed hanging out on a beach that was closed to the public during the New Jersey government shutdown. Basically, Chris Christie has just shown that he really does not give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, he's actually not even running for re-election, so.
Well, I saw that his approval rating is at 15%.
Yep.
Which the company that does that said, we've never had a rating this low before.
That's literally lower than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But yes, that is literally lower than Donald Trump's current.
Yeah.
Oh, he's had that's years of wearing it down.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
That means pretty much everybody in his state hates him.
Yeah.
Even his lieutenant governor was shitting on him. Well, I think that was probably for her own gain.
We got to put this in perspective, though. He's more hated than Trump.
Yeah.
How do you accomplish that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing by being a complete asshole and to your constituents and...
You know, constant scandals and all that.
Scandals,
well, no, how does that differentiate him from Trump? There's got to be something else.
Well, you're fucking with New Jersey traffic, for one thing.
Yeah, and this is also deliberate and malign, whereas Donald Trump is just complete ineptitude.
Yeah.
Then half of the country essentially still supports him.
Yeah.
They haven't directly fucked with them yet.
Yeah. Whereas Chris Christie, it's just, it's the United States of fuck this guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just the state of fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And I think the press even asked him a question about being on the beach, if he got any sun, before the pictures came out. And he's like, nope, didn't get any sun. And I guess the spokesperson afterwards said, yeah, the governor was on the beach briefly today, talking to his wife and family before heading into the office. He did not get any sun. He had a baseball hat on.
Well, thank goodness for that, because I did not need that mental image.
Yeah.
I've seen some good photoshops of him sitting in the chair, like photoshopping him into like Oval Office pictures, things like that. It's like, oh, here's Chris Christie not giving a shit in the middle of meetings in the Oval Office.
Oh, well. Anyway, our next story is a major historical importance. So we mentioned Mr. Thomas Jefferson recently, of course, when we were talking about Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson famously designed and built his own house, Monticello, in Virginia. If you ever get a chance to go and visit it, do. It's I've been told it's pretty fucking amazing. They basically haven't changed a thing since he died, other than, you know, installing modern security equipment. So if you go in there and tour it, you're basically seeing exactly how it would have looked like if Thomas Jefferson was still alive. But as we all know, there are a couple of, shall we say, moral failings about Jefferson, specifically the one about how, you know, he wrote about how all men are created equal while owning African slaves, including a handful of them that he may or may not have forced himself upon. One of them being Sally Hemings. Sally Hemings is probably the most famous because she's the one where most of the mixed race descendants of Jefferson can be traced back to.
Yeah, six children they had.
Well, they finally found her hidden slave quarters.
They're right next to his bedroom.
Shocking.
And that makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It says here, okay, it's Charlottesville, Virginia. This is from NBC News. Archaeologists have excavated an area of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello mansion that has astounded even the most experienced social scientists. The living quarters of Sally Hemings, the enslaved woman who, historians believe, gave birth to six of Jefferson's children. Quote, this discovery gives us a sense of how enslaved people were living. Some of Sally's children may have been born in this room, said Gardner Halleck, director of restoration for Jefferson's Mountaintop Plantation, standing on a red dirt floor inside a dusty rubble stone room built in 1809. It's important because it shows Sally as a human being, a mother, a daughter, a sister, and brings out the relationships in her life. Her living quarters were adjacent to Jefferson's bedroom, but she remains something of an enigma. There are only four known descriptions of her. Enslaved blacksmith Isaac Granger Jefferson recalled that Hemings was mighty near white, very handsome, long straight hair down her back. Her room, 14 feet, 8 inches wide and 13 feet long, went unnoticed for decades. The space was converted into a men's bathroom in 1941, considered by some as the final insult to Hemings' legacy. For the first time at Monticello, we have a physical space dedicated to Sally Hemings and her life, a spokeswoman for Monticello, Mia Magruder-Damon, said. It's significant because it connects the entire African-American arch at Monticello. By the late 60s, the earlier bathrooms had become too small to accommodate Monticello's growing number of visitors, so local restoration architect Floyd Johnson renovated and enlarged the bathrooms in 1967. But recently, historians studied a description provided long ago by a grandson of Jefferson who placed Hemings' room in the home's south wing. So archaeologists started digging. And that's they found it.
Yeah, that's a somewhat disturbing relic of history, but at least it's been, you know, discovered and brought to light. So
yeah. There are many controversies about Thomas Jefferson, but his relationship with Sally Hemings is definitely the big one.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that, like, people really want to know, you know, knowing who Jefferson was, his personality, how he treated the enslaved people under his care. If you go to Monticello now, one of the first things you see is a statue of Jefferson with the names of all the slaves he owned on a giant marble wall behind him. So, you know, most people understand it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, if you talk about it, there will still be people who will complain, saying, well, surely they weren't treated that bad.
That's not the point.
I mean, okay, you know, obviously Jefferson probably wasn't as nasty a slave owner as some of the worst ones, but he's still owning fucking human beings, goddamn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so moving on from there, we got some, I guess, some TV news.
Yeah.
So as everyone knows, there's they're having the reboot of Hawaii Five-0.
I think it's in its 8th season.
Yeah.
It's been around a while.
Yeah, it's been around a while, but recently they're getting ready to start their next season, and two of its actors, Daniel Dae Kim and Grace Park, have left the show because, according to them, there is a discrepancy between their pay and the pay of their non-Asian co-actors.
And about 10-15% less they were being offered.
I heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other two co-stars also have lucrative back-end deals as well that they were not getting, so...
Yeah. Well, we know... we've known for a while now that Hollywood doesn't exactly treat Asian actors the absolute best.
Yeah.
You'd
think the guy that was one of the stars of Lost would be able to get around some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, so, all right.
So they basically left the show.
Mm-hmm.
Made it well aware why. They were sort of protesting that stuff and looking to move on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kim wrote, as an Asian American actor, I know firsthand how difficult it is to find opportunities at all, let alone play a well-developed three-dimensional character like Chen Ho. I will miss him sincerely. What made him even more special is that he was a representative of a place my family and I so dearly love. It has been nothing short of an honor to be able to showcase the beauty and people of Hawaii every week, and I couldn't be prouder to call these islands home. To my local community, Mualaha Nui Loa. He continued, I'll end by saying that though transitions can be difficult, I encourage us all to look beyond the disappointment of this moment to the bigger picture. The path to equality is rarely easy, but I hope you can be excited for the future. I am. Kim has starred on Hawaii Five-0 as Chen Ho Kelly since the drama's debut in 2010 and was a regular for 7 seasons. Prior, of course, he was in Lost. So, I mean, if all of these, you know, anime adaptations hadn't shown us already that the environment for Asian actors in Hollywood kind of sucks.
Yeah.
This is pretty damning.
Yeah, there's a big, I think there seems to be a big upheaval right now going on in, like, the West Coast, at the very least in the Hollywood and in the Silicon Valley, where all this kind of, you know, racism and sexism is really coming to light now, and there's, they're trying to move past it, some of them at least.
Some of them are. It also made you realize that Silicon Valley really is filled with a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
Self-important, you know, socially maligned, just poor social skills assholes.
Yeah.
Says the guy with Asperger's syndrome. And no, even no, I can
that's
recognize.
That's getting pretty close to home.
Yeah.
I'm like, even I can recognize.
I consider myself a poor social skills asshole.
Yeah.
But this is a new level.
Yeah. I mean, people want to know, where did the alt-right and the dark enlightenment come from? It came from fucking Silicon Valley. From all these nut jobs who think just because they can hit a space bar, they somehow, you know how the world is supposed to work.
Alrighty.
Now we got some... actually, really awesome technological news. So, Volvo. Who here has ever driven a Volvo?
Me.
I haven't driven one, Volvo. But I've been in one.
Yeah. My mom used to own a Volvo. She doesn't own one anymore. The one she drove had the tire explode and fly off the car, so she basically said never again.
My first
that was back when I was 4 years old, by the way. That was almost 30 years ago, by the way. But anyway, Volvo recently announced that starting with 2019 models, they are going to move towards hybrid and electric engines only. So yeah,
that's good news.
I think that's going to make them. Is that going to make them like one of the first major Western car manufacturers to do that?
To go exclusively hybrid and electric? Well, yeah, it would be the first major anyway.
Mm-hmm. Although cars on Wednesday became the first mainstream automaker to sound the death knell of the internal combustion engine, and it can't die soon enough.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, hybrids do have combustion engines.
Just they don't play as prominent a part. You know, they share power with the electricity, with the battery. Which is why, you know, the amount of, when you have to fill her up at a gas station, it doesn't cost you as much.
Yeah.
That's the joy of owning a hybrid.
Yep.
I'm still wondering how Nissan's going to make the GTR work in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually wouldn't be surprised if the internal combustion engine stays around in some way as like a hobby, like a niche thing.
Yeah.
Well, there'll still be all those cars out there.
Yeah, they'll still be out there, but...
There'll be those people that are like, you're not taking away my gas engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World's suddenly going to become Red Barchetta. Rush song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, it's a song by Rush about, a future in which the combustion engines are made illegal, and there's this one dude driving a fully loaded Red Barchetta speeding down a highway trying to outrun a few robots. So, yep. God damn it, Neil Peart.
Anyway, need to get that album on vinyl.
That's, by the way, that's on Moving Pictures, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Many amazing songs on Moving Pictures.
It's pretty much a greatest hits album all by itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
that song on there.
Yeah. So the age of the petrol engine is almost the age of the death of the petrol engine is almost upon us.
Yeah.
Let us all rejoice.
Yeah.
Sort of like the death of coal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're still out there suing John Oliver.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as a species, when petroleum and coal become obsolete, we will all be better off.
Yeah.
It will be the dawn of a golden age, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
So much of the bullshit that we have to go through right now, especially here in the United States, and our foreign policy has to that shit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what'll happen to fucking Saudi Arabia once petroleum finally fucking is no longer a viable market?
Welcome to the third world, suckers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't actually go that far, because actually a lot of people don't realize this. They've already made plans to switch over to natural gas and shit. So the difference, of course, is, natural gas is actually more plentiful and not nearly as expensive. Granted, you do have to get... Granted...
In their position, they'd be big on solar, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some of that going on, too.
Yeah. So, we cannot wait for the death of the petrol engine.
Yeah.
And the death of coal, for that matter. Of course, the coal thing is really more of an American-centric sort of problem. A lot of other countries, have sort of... that I don't. Most countries, I don't think, have the type of massive coal lobby like we do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure most countries don't.
But anyway,
my state's been getting ravaged by that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you've heard about that story. Outdoor retailer moving to Colorado.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Pretty much, coal is all that Utah has left.
Yeah.
So,
oh man, but anyway, so Volvo switching to hybrid and electric engines only.
Good stuff.
Hooray. Okay, so this next story I kind of need to add a bit of additional info is because I looked this up on Snopes. China is planning on building a huge solar farm that is going to be in the shape of a giant cartoon panda. I say planned because the image that you've been seeing going around the internet is actually just a piece of concept art from one of the designers.
It usually is.
Yeah.
Apparently they're Kung Fu Panda fans.
Yeah, so this is not built. This is in the planning stages.
And... Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people probably already know this, but the Chinese government has been planning to slowly go away from you know, coal-powered and petrol-powered, you know, electricity over the next decade.
They need to be probably worse than anybody.
Yeah.
It will be good for the world when they do.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you go to Beijing, you're basically walking into the fucking gas chambers at Auschwitz. I know that sounds insensitive, but honestly, it's bad.
Yeah.
The smog is damn near lethal.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, here in the U.S., we got some smoggy places, too. But,
again, my home state.
Yay!
But in Beijing, it's fucking unreal.
Yeah.
And of course, this is one of the, one small, advantages of having a centralized one-party state. In that, you know, they decide they don't want to do... they decide we don't want to use coal and petrol-powered electricity anymore. They fucking aren't going to use.
Yeah, just say, nope.
Consider it done.
We're done.
Yeah.
And I got to give them style points for the design.
The panda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking China, so...
Well, if you're gonna build a giant solar farm that's visible from space, you may as well make it look pretty.
Yeah.
How much solar would it take just to power the city of Beijing, though?
Oh, lots.
A lot.
They have a ton of space, though.
Yeah, they got all of the real estate.
Well, yeah. Also, there's those, I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. You guys have seen Big Hero 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take
you know the, you know what I'm talking about?
Hmm.
Big floating power plants?
Yeah.
Yeah, those.
Yeah. Well,
those actually exist in some places, by the way, for those who don't know.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, they do. But anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, but China doing this is actually good for everybody.
Yeah,
not just in the sense that. Yeah, but not just in the sense that, you know, it's going to help air quality and stuff. But since they're doing massive orders of solar panels like this, it's going to, you know, spark development of that kind of technology.
Yeah.
And you're going to see the industry around it. You're going to see efficiency of panels get better.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good thing for everybody.
It kind of sucks that because
put
of the way
all of money to R&D.
It does kind of suck that the way capitalism works, that in order to make big progress like this, you basically have to be near at a crisis point, but I'll take it.
That's better than not having it happen at all.
Yeah.
You know. Yep. Because of a few coal barons that don't want to cut the goddamn umbilical cord.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
yeah, there's a picture of the actual farm.
Yeah, the one they're actually building. It's not quite as cartoony looking.
No.
Still looks pretty awesome, but
yeah.
All right. I saw this one. Okay, next up. So there was a TV reporter from. Let me check this, because I want to... Yeah, this is from...
KTLA.
Nope.
In...
Naturally.
In KTLA in what?
LA.
Where is... In LA, Los Angeles, of course. Hmm. All right, so... In 4th of July in LA, they have the Beer Iron Man competition. Which happens down at the beach... And
it's every bit the idea you think it is.
Yeah, it's basically an Iron Man competition involving lots and 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 lots of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actual event, you're supposed to run a mile, pedal a mile, then chug a six pack of beer.
Yep. And not one by one, like the whole fucking six pack. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, this reporter found out.
The hard way.
Yeah.
Yep. Some dude spewed on him.
Yeah, the thing she found out later is that some guy had a shirt on that, or he had a bullseye drawn on his back with the words "puke here" written in magic marker.
Oh, shit.
That was right off to the right of the camera.
Somebody's an asshole.
And so the guy threw up on him, splashed a lot on the guy she was talking to, and also on her.
Yeah. Now here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. When it happened, there was a cutaway, which made them think like, oh, was there some thoughtful technician or technical director who thought, oh God, maybe we should spare the viewing audience of this horrible display? No, it was a glitch. It just so happened to happen right at that point.
Yeah.
And she says here, nope, it was just a technical glitch. While the anchors tried to regain their composure and go on to the next story, I assumed I was still live. So for the better part of the next 2 minutes, I just kept interviewing drunken people while sudsy substances flew in the air and landed in my hair. Let's say after that, it was a wrap. I drove home, took a hot shower, and a long nap. When I woke,
shower for about 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah. When I woke, I was greeted by thousands of retweets, links to the YouTube video, and a message from a New York Times reporter who wanted to talk about "quote unquote" the incident.
Because of course they did.
Yeah, you know, those who are wondering, they got the video link there. Just get it up to around the 56 mark. That's when it starts.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, I once had a nightmare about reporting live in the middle of a mosh pit with hundreds of sweaty men throwing up all around me. To all of you aspiring journalists out there, I'm here to tell you, dreams really do come true, especially in the age of viral videos.
And it looks, it's, and here's the thing, this wasn't just regular vomit either. It was fucking projectile, like,
well, it would
from
have
a fire hose vomit.
That's actually kind of impressive.
Yeah.
And the guy that she's interviewing, she's like, yeah, whatever.
It's like he doesn't care.
It's obviously not his first rodeo.
Nope.
I mean, he knows he can just go into go onto the beach and wash it off.
Yeah.
Mm.
Couldn't hear her over just how relieved he was.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's fun.
Yeah, so all right, so next up, we've got trends, and specifically stupid trends. Look at what we got here. LED eyelashes.
Yeah.
What?
LED eyelashes.
They're called flashes.
Fuck.
Because the transparent undergarments weren't, you know, bad enough.
Yeah.
Now you can blind yourself with these things.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Just look at the little Kickstarter video that's there. It really is as stupid as you imagine.
No, this is going after a certain demographic, and none of them could pass a piss test.
Nope.
It's just I don't get it. I mean, is this how we get to our cyberpunk future by sticking
LEDs? Well, I mean, if you're
LEDs
okay, if
face?
You're if you're like going to a rave or something, then yeah, something like this. You can kind of understand, but, you know, there's no way that this shit would exist without the help of ecstasy.
I'm fairly certain some substances were consumed.
Invented by Molly.
Yeah.
Ecstasy, Molly, PCP, one of those.
Yeah. And, of course, this is on Kickstarter.
Yep.
Because of course, it would have to be.
And the weird thing is it's still wired. So... Mm-hmm. You have to stick it under your eyelashes and have to hide a wire.
Yeah. I'm guessing it just goes behind your ear.
So now we have people who have to be on the charger. This is where we've gotten to. Fuck me right.
Yep, that's about as good a way of summing it up. Anyways.
Yeah.
Fresh battery can last for over 4 hours.
Oh, so you got to swap them out during a long rave. That's great. Mm. Oh, jeez.
God damn it, world.
Yeah. No, thanks. I will not be backing this project. Thank you very much.
No.
Let's see how it's doing. $40,000 goal, $104,000.
God damn it.
13 days to go.
And this is what's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
And these people are obviously going to end up billionaires.
Probably.
1,400 backers.
Because the world is the world.
Yeah. Well, if a fidget cube can make like $2 million for something that does nothing, then yeah, this is the thing that.
That's the thing I've always found about fidget spinners. Fidget spinners are not a new thing. They've been around since like 1996.
Yeah.
So why now did they just suddenly take off?
Because people decided to buy them without needing them. Or
yeah.
Found them amusing or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sober enough to articulate this properly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. We get it.
Speaking of which, I need to get me one. Fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Serious. No, for like actual fidgeting, because...
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, man, but fucking $6.
Yeah. Speaking of celebrity bullshit, Kendall and Kylie Jenner are being sued by the Doors. Okay. Well, the surviving members, anyway.
This already seemed like it could be the douchiest thing that ever happened.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, Kendall and Kylie Jenner decided that they would sell T-shirts with their faces superimposed over the Doors logo.
They did this for a variety of bands and artists. It was like Tupac, Biggie, Ozzy Osbourne, Pink Floyd, a bunch of others, plus the Doors.
Why?
At the very least, I could see this landing them in enough crosshairs that it'll be entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah.
Just why?
Yeah, exactly. Do people actually buy them? Well, don't answer that
you
question.
Don't want to know.
Of course,
that,
people do.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the notion of they just repurposed other people's band shirts with their face over it. Like, oh, that's what they want.
Isn't this just a douchier revamp of that whole One Direction Ramones thing?
Mm-hmm.
A couple years back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck everything.
And so the Doors lawyers fired off a cease and desist letter to them when this stuff started coming up. They eventually took down all their stuff. And the Doors, I guess, are not satisfied. So they're
they shouldn't be satisfied.
Prune their roots and plant their stumps.
Yeah.
Source connected to the estate tells us the damage has been done. They'll be pursuing a lawsuit.
They should. I'm surprised they didn't actually talk to a lawyer before doing any of this stuff.
No.
It's the fucking Kardashian clan. Of course they didn't fucking talk to anyone.
They've got lawyers. They need them.
They thought putting their faces over this stuff was artistic.
That's about as blatant copyright infringement as you could get. Trademark infringement.
Of course it is. Just fuck the whole goddamn clan. The whole bunch of bourgeois fucking swine. Every last one of them.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Netflix news. before we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got another stupid. So, you like chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
You like Coke?
Yeah.
And I don't mean Coca-Cola.
No.
I mean cocaine. Jamaican gold. Well, no, that's marijuana. Anyway, do you like chocolate and you like cocaine? Well, do you like the taste of chocolate but the feel of snorting cocaine? Well, now, thanks to a Florida company, you can achieve that goal.
It's called Coco Loco.
Coco Loco.
A snortable chocolate powder being marketed as a drug-free way to get a buzz. Let's see. Includes cacao powder, ginkgo biloba, taurine, and guarana, which are commonly found in energy drinks.
So where is this company based?
Florida.
Of course it is.
And he got the idea when he heard about a chocolate snorting trend in Europe a few months ago. Order sample, gave it a try. At first, I was like, is this a hoax? And I tried it, and it was like, okay, this is the future right here. Invested $10,000 into creating a rock cacao snuff. Took about 10 tries over 2 months. Some versions, they just burn too much. Other times, they look gray and dull or didn't have enough stimulants. But doctors say they're not quite sure what to make of the brown powder, which hit U.S. shelves last month and is not approved by the FDA. The question is, what are the risks of doing it, said Dr. Andrew Lane, director of the Johns Hopkins Sinus Center. There's no data, and as far as I can tell, there's no one studied what happens if you inhale chocolate into your nose.
Yeah.
When I mention it to people, nobody's ever heard of it. Maybe, he added, I'm not in the in crowd. Lane said he wasn't particularly worried that snortable chocolate could become a gateway drug, as users become accustomed to getting a buzz by inhaling powders. If you're going to do drugs, you probably don't start with chocolate. Certainly, this is better than using an illicit drug.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, there is very little research into what the effects could be on this. He says there are a few obvious concerns. First, it's not clear how much of each ingredient would be absorbed into the nasal mucous membranes. And while putting solid material into your nose, you could imagine it getting stuck in there or the chocolate mixing into your mucus to create a paste that could block your sinuses. Spokesman for the U.S. FDA said it had not decided whether or how the agency would regulate the product. In reaching that decision, FDA will need to evaluate the product labeling, marketing information, and or any other information pertaining to the product's intended use.
Okay. Basically, the FDA is like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. They sell about 40,000 to 50,000 bottles per month, about $12.50 each.
Oh.
The reviews on online message boards, meanwhile, are mixed. Quote, all I felt was drowsy. A user named Body and Beats wrote on drugsforum.com. quote, put me right to sleep. Wasn't fun at all, said another on IGN.com. Cyber video game enthusiast.
Oh, God. They're making money, but they might not be for much longer, I guess?
Nope.
Yeah, the things people think about is just amazing to me.
It's like, why snort it? Just fucking mix it into chocolate.
Yeah.
Or some milk. Milk or something like that.
Yeah.
Do what other people do with their cocaine. Put it on your tongue and wipe it around your gums.
Yeah. Gotta get my chocolate in my gums.
Yeah. Anyway, now for our final part of the show, we've got two Netflix stories. First one, everybody knows, of course, the Castlevania animated show is now out, at least the first season.
Yep.
It's been getting good reviews.
I'm going to watch it this weekend, so
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
But apparently Netflix has announced they're working on an Assassin's Creed animated show, which is going to be done by Castlevania's showrunner.
Okay, this could be good.
Yeah, this could work.
Hopefully it'd be better than that god-awful Michael Fassbender movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Michael Fassbender as an actor, but that movie was terrible.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So this is...
It'll be interesting to see where this is set.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the first Assassin's Creed thing in Japan, since it's supposed to be anime-styled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
It would. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Wait and see.
Seems like this is still early, though. They did basically just announced they're starting on it.
Yeah. So that's cool. Netflix has a pretty good record so far, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. If you haven't watched Voltron yet, by the way, do so.
Which one is that?
The new Voltron that Netflix did. Yeah.
All right. I gotta watch that.
Yeah.
And finally, our ultimate story of the night: Netflix series Netflix is doing a series on the story of the Central Park Five, which is going to be helmed by the director Avid Varney, who did, of course,
Ava DuVernay.
DuVernay. Thank you. Who was the director of Selma?
Someone, she's doing a current Netflix show called 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just released.
For those of you who don't know who the Central Park Five were, they were these five young black guys in New York. Basically based around, there was this jogger named Tricia Mailey, who was, in 1989, was violently assaulted, raped, and sodomized. She was in the coma for 12 days afterwards. She was a 28-year-old investment banker, weighing just under 100 pounds. When it happened, it was one of the most... It was one of the biggest criminal sensations in the 1980s. Like, the story was fucking everywhere.
I think I remember hearing about it up here.
It was major goddamn news.
And it involves somebody very important now.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting to that.
Yeah.
So basically what happened is that these five kids, and that's really there was five of them. They were, originally there was 11. Like, they literally roped in like 11 young black kids. And let's see. Trying to say, do they have the? I guess they don't have the names of them, which is good, I guess.
Yeah, they have some pictures with a few of them that she took.
They do have some, like Yusef Salam. His conviction wasn't overturned until 2002. So basically, it was 11. The remaining ones that remained in custody are the one who were convicted are known as the Central Park Five. And they were basically, all five of them were eventually acquitted after they finally found the actual perpetrator in 2002. But it was bad. I mean, the racial animosity that this story shored up was, let's just say that you can kind of see why you would eventually see something like the LA riots.
Yeah.
You know, it was part of 89 going into the 90s was surprisingly very, it was really intense. I'm pretty sure, let's see, like, wasn't, was Reagan still president, or was it George H.W. Bush?
Spring of 89.
Yeah.
89, so, I think it was Bush, yeah.
Yeah.
Bush.
So, anyway, what happened is these five kids were convicted. They stayed in jail for a crime they didn't commit for almost 20 years. It was about 12.
Yeah.
And the reason this story is now relevant, other than the fact that it was a pretty horrible case of injustice, and literally, when it comes to that shit, you can indict just about everyone. The fucking media, the politics at the time, the fucking NYPD. Just a giant, colossal fuck-up of horrible.
Yeah,
this was before the internet existed, really. So yeah. Imagine if that happened now.
Yeah.
Though it kind of has in some instances.
Yeah.
Like the things that happen in Missouri and Florida and all that.
Mm-hmm. But the reason this story is still relevant is because of one individual who managed to poke his orange ass into the story. Mm. Way back on May 1st, 1989, when then real estate magnate Donald J. Trump called for the return of the death penalty in New York when he took out a full-page advertisements in all four of the major New York newspapers. In fact, if you go to the... Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Here it is right here.
No, they have it right there.
Yeah, it's right there on the Wikipedia page. And he basically said, bring back the death penalty, bring back our police. First of all, I have a very strong doubt that he wrote this by himself.
Yeah. Well, he was younger then, so he might have had more of his mental faculty.
Yeah. Says here, Mayor Koch, of course, they're talking about Ed Koch. Has stated that hate and rancor should be removed from our hearts. I do not think so. I want to hate these muggers and murderers. They should be forced to suffer. Yes, Mayor Koch, I want to hate these murderers, and I always will. How can our great society tolerate the continued brutalization of its citizens by crazed misfits? Criminals must be told that their, in all caps, civil liberties end when an attack on our safety begins. In an interview with Larry King back in 89, he said, the problem with our society is the victim has absolutely no rights and the criminal has unbelievable rights. Maybe hate is what we need if we're going to get something done. Mm-hmm. And in case you're wondering if he ever remembered any of this shit, they asked him again way back in October 2016.
Yeah.
You know, like a month before the election.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I stand by what I said, and I think they still deserve to die.
Even though they were proven innocent back by that time.
He said, they admitted they were guilty. The police doing the original investigation say they were guilty. The fact that the case was settled with so much evidence against them is outrageous. And the woman, so badly injured, will never be the same. By the way, the woman herself, Trisha Melly, I'm pretty sure she had something to say about that. Yeah, because, I mean, she's still alive. She's still around, and I think she just kind of straight up called him an asshole.
Yeah.
Yusuf Salam, one of the five defendants, said that he had falsely confessed out of coercion after having been mistreated by police while in custody, deprived of food, water, and sleep for over 24 hours. John McCain actually called them outrageous statements about the innocent men in the Central Park 5 case and cited it as one of the many causes prompting him to retract his endorsement of Trump. A lot of good that did.
Yeah.
Once an asshole, always an asshole.
Yeah. Now more of his assholery is coming to bear. So.
Yep.
There. And you'll be able to watch all of it on Netflix.
Yeah, they mentioned in this press release, essentially, it'll be a five-episode series. Mm. And each episode will focus on each of the five teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which they have their names here, Antron, Kevin, Youssef, Raymond, and Corey.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So you'll be learning about each of them in each episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, these were just kids.
Yeah.
I mean, every single one of them were teenagers when this happened. And they basically just got rounded up in a group of 11, and these were the five that they decided were the ones to go to trial. I mean, there's a reason the NYPD has such a bad reputation, and it hasn't really gotten much better.
Hmm.
Yeah, it says here the whole thing didn't really even get resolved until about 2014. They were exonerated, and a settlement was reached with the city of New York.
Yep.
Jeff, so it takes 25 years to reach actual conclusion.
Yeah. Who's producing this? Do we know?
It's a few different media companies. Oprah Winfrey's company is one of them. Harpo Films.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some big names behind this.
Yeah. Also, just yeah. By the way, for those anyone who's interested, Ken Burns did an amazing documentary about this particular story a few years ago. If you ever get a chance, look at it. Because it's pretty fucking goddamn. It's like it's pretty good example of what you know mass hysteria can do.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. All right, well, I do believe we've got a show, folks.
Yep.
So,
a little shorter than usual, but...
Yeah. Well, we managed to make it under 2 hours, so...
Yeah, to compensate for last week.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you would like to write into the show, have a question you want to ask us, or have something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, other than iTunes, you can also catch our little place at RSS, Google Play, archive.org, probably your toaster oven.
Yeah.
Hell, maybe you look
you
really
say
good
that,
at
you say that enough, I'm going to have to actually make that happen.
Maybe you take a really good look at your shower head. We might be on there, too.
Yeah.
But. With all that, I am your husband, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogia, I'd like to say goodnight. Somebody please nuke the Kardashian mansion from orbit.